In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Welcome to the Friday edition of Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. And you're listening on a special day. We kind of hit a milestone today. Today is show number 100 of Beacon of Truth. Show number 100 on a Friday. What a great way to start the weekend. And today, we're going to be talking about supporting children's vocations. I think this is an extremely important topic because there are many parents who are trying to hoist expectations upon their children that may not be in line with what God has planned for them. We have parents trying to live vicariously through their children, and I think that could be a detriment rather than a boon to their vocational discernment. So we're going to talk about that today. When we part of the show, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, beacon@ew10.com, or you can even text the letters EWTN to 58177, wait for a response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. And again, we're going to be doing a pilgrimage coming up in December. Would love, absolutely love to have you with us. It's going to be from December 6th to the 16th. It's called the Great Saints of Italy pilgrimage. Great Saints of Italy. So we're going to be exploring the land of the church, if you will. St. Peter, St. Paul, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. John Paul II, Padre Pio, Blessed Carlo Acutis, St. Anthony, St. Luke, St. Mark. We're going to be going to Rome, Petrolicina, San Giovanni Rotondo. We're going to see the Eucharistic miracles at Lanciano, Cascium, and Bologna. We're going to go to Assisi, Siena, Padua, and much, much more. So would love to have you with us on the pilgrimage. Again, go to my website, deaconharold.com. Just click on the pilgrimage tab at the top of the page there and just scroll down just a bit, and you will see the Great Saints of Italy pilgrimage. Again, would love to have you. It's going to be awesome. And again, pilgrimages with me are not just, you know, the hamster wheel. Get off the bus, take pictures, jump back on. We're going to pray. We're going to have mass. We're going to say rosary. It's going to be a deeply spiritual experience. So would love to have you with us. So show number 100. So we started Beacon of Truth back in February. And it's been an amazing journey so far. You know, it's been wonderful to talk about the beautiful things of the faith, some challenging things of the faith, how we can, and the whole point is how we can draw closer to our Lord's most sacred heart, helping to bring all of us to a deeper intimacy, a deeper connection with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Explore the why of the faith. You know, why do we believe what we believe? How is God speaking to us? How is God relating to us? What does it mean to be in covenant relationship? Why does the Eucharist matter? All of those things. You know, instead of focusing on polemics and triumphalism and this problem in the culture or that problem in the church, I decided for Beacon of Truth, we're going to focus on truth, goodness, and beauty, the transcendentals. You know, and again, helping people to draw them more closely into a deep relationship with Jesus so that they can see the purpose and the meaning and unfolding of what God is trying to do in their lives. And we're going to take a look at today supporting our children's vocations. You know, and I'm going to share a couple of experiences I've had that made me think about why we need to talk about this today. And so very excited that you're with us. I'm also excited to have some awesome people with us. Matt Gabinski is screening calls today, and Charles Berry's doing social media. And we have our producer and DJ Extraordinaire Ace McKay with us. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. I know that you don't typically watch a lot of television, but I was curious if you're planning to check out any of the World Series, the College World Series this weekend.
I didn't even know it was on.
Oh, that's figured.
I don't know who's playing.
I know you were going to say that. And as a music person, I would think you would at least enjoy the interest of each player's walk-up song. So I'm going to ask you if you had a walk-up song. Yeah. See, they do this in sports. You should watch. They have their own walk-up song, and sometimes it's like a chant of some kind that gets the crowd going.
You mean when the player comes to hit?
Yeah.
Or when they come up to bat, there's a song they play for?
Yep.
See, now they didn't have that when I was watching, you know, when I was younger, watching baseball, going to baseball games. They didn't have that. Now everybody has their own song, huh?
Well, and I would think, you know, as a former wrestler, like, you know, like it's not unheard of.
Yeah, WWF crazy stuff. There's not really wrestling. That's
so what is the Deacon Herald entry song going to be? That's what everybody wants to know.
Oh, boy. Crazy Train, maybe, or something like that.
That's a good one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Man. Any major plans for the weekend? Any musical plans?
Tonight is date night. My wife messaged me, and she's like, hey, I want to go rogue. Our other plans fell through. Can we have a date? I'm like, when and where? No children. I will take that any and every time. And my wife and I have this idea of that when the kids are older and they move out of the house, we're just going to move downtown and have a little, you know, 2-bedroom condo or whatever that's kind of overlooking the city. So when we have a chance to go hang out in the city, that's where we do. So probably there'll be a big scallop on her plate and, you know, there'll be some kind of big souffle in mine. So it'll be worthy. But just to have the conversation and spend time together, I always look forward to that.
Yeah, date nights are always wonderful opportunities to kind of reconnect, you know. Yeah, I look forward to those myself. Usually when I come back from a trip, you know, and I have some time at home, we definitely schedule a date night, which is really nice, which is really awesome to connect that way.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. Well, and as you guys, I mean, you just celebrated a milestone. So are there still date ideas that you haven't done yet, or do you go back to the ones that you always love and enjoy?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what we try to do a couple of things. We try to do a regular kind of date night thing, and it's just dinner and a movie kind of a thing. We just say, well, which restaurants we want to try in Portland now, you know, because a number of them are our favorite ones closed permanently, sadly, because of the pandemic. And so now we're looking at newer ones that are coming up or revisiting old ones or something like that. And then we have like a once a year getaway weekend where we take a extended weekend and, you know, 4 days, and we go someplace and just hang out. You know, so this year we didn't do that, obviously, because we had our 30th anniversary trip, which took the place of
that's a big date.
That was huge. So next year we're thinking about Hawaii. We have some friends there, so it wouldn't really cost us anything. And I have like a gazillion points on for car rentals, so it wouldn't cost anything to rent a car. So basically we can go almost for free. Mean, so it's so like Hawaii for free. Let me think about that. Yes.
Well, and something you should know about me, if it was socially acceptable, I would live in a hotel all the time. Like the idea of the continental breakfast, not making my bed, fresh towels. Like I'm like, yeah, like that's half my job at home now.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Give me a little little break.
Yeah. You know, I think there's some people that do like, I think like sometimes if a private builder or investor that builds a hotel, they actually make a suite for themselves. Actually in the hotel, and some of them actually live there at least part of the year.
Yeah,
they'll spend time there, and because actually I stayed in one of those suites once.
Nice.
When I was trafficking, what country I was in, and usually I have to stay in a rectory with a priest or a hotel or something. Like I can't stay in people's homes, but this guy, it was his home, but it wasn't his home. He wasn't there.
Yeah,
he was away. And so I had the entire place to myself, and the views were just, it was Sydney. It was just spectacular, just absolutely spectacular. So that's been a blessing. So I feel you, man, about living in a hotel.
It's good. I made the mistake, though, of introducing my youngest daughter to an Airbnb on a trip that she and I wanted to take, and she's like, Dad, this is someone's house.
Yeah,
she was like, she's like, next time I'm picking the hotel and you're paying for it. I'm like, yeah. All right, my bad. I was trying to enhance the experience.
Yeah. That is kind of weird that we're into in our culture today where we share cars, right? There's not just like a ride share. There's actually a company where you can actually rent someone's actual car.
Yeah.
Like if they have a Porsche or something like that, you can actually rent their actual car.
That's
so
weird.
I was like, man, I mean, yeah. So in a spiritual sense, I mean, about sharing your gifts with others, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it would be kind of weird driving someone else's car.
I like my Cruise. No one else can drive it but me. I don't even like my daughter to drive it. She's learning.
I hear you. I love that. So today's Beacon of Truth, episode number 100 today. And we're talking about supporting children's vocations. Phone number is 833-288-3986. Yeah.
Roll the windows down.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's definitely from back in the day. You know, you have the rappers with the cars going up and down, the shocks or whatever that thing. That's cool.
Little Snoop Dogg, you know.
Yeah. You know, I may rap to one of these songs one day.
It's gonna happen. So I'm feeling it.
The Holy Spirit may hit me. Who knows?
As it should.
Yes, amen. You listen to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and today is show 100. Of Beacon of Truth, and so much enjoyed bringing this show to you every day, Monday through Friday, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Today, we're talking about supporting our children's vocations. Very important topic, which I'll set up after the segment on the Psalms, but would love for you to share your experience of supporting your children's vocations. Maybe they were taking a path that you didn't want them to take. Do you allow them to make a mistake so they can learn from that mistake and grow? Or do you try to steer them in a different direction? Were you disappointed with the vocation that your children made? Even if they were to become a priest or a nun, were you sad? Because now you won't have grandchildren. These are the things we want to talk about today. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. And before we do that, let's hear from our producer extraordinaire, Ace McKay.
Of course, we've been celebrating this afternoon Father Pascal Mary, ordained 2013, effective anniversary tomorrow. So since we're celebrating our 100th show today, we want to go ahead and add to the celebration. So congratulations from all of us at EWTN Radio.
Yeah, congratulations on your priest ordination. All right, beautiful. All right. Well, when you hear that music, that means it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at a part of Psalm 119. 119 is the longest psalm, and it's broken down into 22 different sections, each section representing one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. All right. So it's an extremely long psalm. So we have to break this down to 22 different times that we look at this particular psalm. Today, we're looking at verses 17 through 24, right? So Psalm 119, 17 through 24, which if you look at your Bible, the prescript is basically the Hebrew letter. So this time is Gimel. So Aleph Bet Gimel is the third letter of the Jewish alphabet. So not only does it denote the number 3, it's the third letter of the Jewish alphabet. Remember, the Jewish alphabet is very expressive. So Gimel also means camel in Hebrew. So again, when you're looking at these things in Hebrew, you have to the language is deeply, deeply expressive. So the characters are more than just letters, right? They're symbols. You know, it has a very, very beautiful, deep, and rich history. So again, we're going to be using the Revised Grail Psalms, which are approved for use in the Mass. So if your version, if you're following along like the New American Bible or the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition or something, you say, oh, those, it's a little bit different translation. That's okay. You know, this one, I use this one because it's a little more faithful to the Hebrew, the actual Hebrew, although it loses a little bit of its sweetness in the translation that we have now. So we're starting at verse 17, Psalm 119, verse 17. Again, this is an extended meditation on the law of God. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. So we want to keep God's word. So we want God to deal justly and fairly with us, right? So we can have the heart to be able to do his will. Open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your law. Wow, I like that. Jesus talked about the world. Jesus is the light that came into the world. He said, but the world preferred darkness rather than light. And I think sometimes we walk around in our culture, at least many people walk around the culture, with their eyes closed. Their eyes closed to the reality of who God is and what God means in their life every day. That they can live without God, that they can walk through life with their eyes closed, blinded. But what are they blinding themselves to? The beauty and truth of a relationship, a deep, intimate relationship with God. That's what they're blinding themselves to. So the psalmist here is encouraging people to open their eyes so they can see the beauty of what God is trying to do in their life. So they may walk with confidence along the path in the light, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 19, I am a pilgrim in the land. Hide not your commands from me. You've heard me say this before. During this life on earth, we are on pilgrimage. Why? This is not our home, right? Our home is heaven, right? Jesus says, in my Father's mansion, there are many rooms, you know? So that's going to be our home. We're going to live with God forever. You know, our life here on earth is short. You know, as we read in Psalm 90, written by Moses, our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. And most of these years are emptiness and pain. They pass swiftly and we are gone, right? So we have to remember that life here is only temporary. Our eternal life forever with God is actually heaven. And it's the commands and the laws of God that are the points along the way that help us, that strengthen us on our journey. So one of the touch points is the sacraments, especially receiving our Lord, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. Since you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We have the Ten Commandments, the Aseret Hadibrot, the Ten Words of God. We have the moral laws, we have the catechism, all these wonderful things leading us on the way to salvation. Verse 20, my soul is consumed with longing at all times for your decrees. I love that. So again, that hunger, that thirst, that desire, that longing that we have sometimes for earthly things is a physical reminder that what we're really hungering and thirsting and desiring is a deep relationship with God. Right? And so our soul, the deepest part of who we are, can only be filled by that, by God himself. That's the space that he created within us, the part of that's expressed through the natural moral law. But that's the part of God, part within us that God has placed for himself to reside within us, right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we are partakers in the divine nature. We share God's life, right? So there's that space within every single person that's just for God. That's so that longing and yearning is really for him. And so God has asked us on earth to help us to fill that space that nothing else in this earth, nothing else in this world, or nor one, by the way, in this world can ever fulfill.
Yeah. And I always in that discussion go back to the, you know, if we lean into God, he will give us the desires of our heart. And I think like many of us interpreted that is that, well, if I just follow after him and, you know, obey the Ten Commandments, he'll give me what I want. But what I've come to learn that as I align with who God is and who I am in him, that my desires change to be that of what he wants for me, so that the desires of my heart are the desires of his heart for me.
Exactly, because when your will and God's will are in communion, that's where the freedom comes from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you're really fulfilling your vocation, is when what you're doing is in line with what God's doing, trying to do in your life. Because you have to say yes to and be open to. See, the thing is, what is that?
Right. Well, and a lot of times we have to hurry up and wait, right? We want God to give us our calling, and then we're ready now. But there's training, and there's, you know, orchestration and stuff. And he's putting other things and people in our path to make that happen. And so we have to, okay, I know my calling. I'm just waiting on God to take me there or to get through the season or whatever it might be. So it's okay to have your calling and tell people about it and be ready and rallying. But, you know, wait for God's timing before you jump in with both feet.
Amen. Because God's timing is always perfect. Amen. Love that. Verse 21, you threaten the proud, the accursed, who stray from your commands. Okay, so he's not really threatening them. What the psalmist means here is that there, people have to understand there are consequences for the actions, choices, and decisions that they make to not follow the law of God. Because we have free will. We can say yes to God or we can say no to God, right? So I don't want to use a technical language, but when God gives a command in scripture, there's three ways that he does that. There's apodictic, casuistic, and paranetic. Okay, don't worry about those words. But the second one is cause and effect. You know, so God says, if you do this action, this is going to be the result. Right? So we know that if we don't follow God's laws, there's going to be consequences for that. That's what he's getting to here. Free me from scorn and contempt, for I observe your decrees. Right? So we don't want to get discouraged. Free me from scorn, contempt, all those things. Free me from that, Lord, that turn ourselves away from your law, away from your light. We don't want to walk out of your light back into the darkness again, Lord. You have led us on this path. Don't allow these temptations of the world, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Don't let those things take away the path that we're on. Don't let me stumble. Well, we may stumble and fall, but the Lord is there to pick us up. Jesus fell three times, carrying the cross. He got up and kept going. Same thing. That's why I have the sacrament of reconciliation. That's why I have all the sacraments to strengthen us on that journey, this pilgrimage journey, during those times that we do fall, that we do stumble. You know, that we don't have to get up ourselves. God gives us all the things we need to do to keep moving forward. And then finally, though princes sit plotting against me, your servant ponders your statutes. So are the princes of this world, the people of this world. They're plotting. In other words, they're not just these, the people that are in power, either political or government or sometimes even inside the church, let's be real, are trying to move us away. No, Lord, keep me straight on your path. And then finally, see, your decrees are my delight. Your statutes are my counselors. Ah, I love that. So if we're going, okay, let's just say we're going for marriage counseling. Okay. Or addiction counseling. All right, we're human. You know, we all need help. That's fine. But don't forget that along with the counseling, whatever you're doing, prayer, that intimacy with God, the language of communion, right? Because ultimately, God's statutes, God's laws are our spiritual counselor, along with the other things that we're doing to help us along the way. Beautiful. Well, today, show number 100 of Beacon of Truth. We're talking about supporting children's vocations. 833-288-3986. Yeah, I like that.
Now taking the plate, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We accidentally,
oh, I like that, yeah.
We accidentally started the conversation. Everybody on YouTube is guessing what your walk-up song would be. And so, thank you for the suggestions, everyone.
Oh, that's awesome. I tell you, never bored on the show. It's awesome.
That is true.
You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today is show number 100 of Beacon of Truth. And we're talking about supporting children's vocations. And I'll explain that in a second. In the meantime, give us a call. We'd love to hear how you're promoting and supporting or have supported and promoted your child's vocation. They're calling by God. What kinds of things do you do to help your child discover what God had planned for them in their life? We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-3986.
I know as the summer goes on, catching up on great conversations, easy to do at Podcast Central. We've got a great one called The Family Room, and it's always great to look into authors, theologians, priests, lay leaders, and it's all a part of just a casual conversation on faith. So find out more about The Family Room when you visit us at ewtn.com/podcast when you check out Podcast Central today.
All right. Well, Susan on YouTube said, I think Deacon Harold's song could be a Lenny Kravitz, Let Love Rule. Just a thought. All right.
You got to let
Yeah, there you go. All right. Or another one, Michael on YouTube, Michael P. Deacon Harold's entry song should be Here I Am, Lord by Dan Shute. Yeah, here I am, Lord. Okay. Here's another one. Sarah chiming in. Deacon Harold's song should be Jesus, Take the Wheel. Oh, yeah. I haven't heard that song in a long time. Jesus, Take the Wheel. Oh, there you go. All right. A walk-up song.
You have options.
Well, you know, like maybe I should play that song before I walk out to do a gig or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Like at the Eucharistic Congress coming up, you know, we had the meeting with the organizers about, because I'm going to be speaking with Edge Tree. So we're like, okay, here's what the transition is going to be like. Here's what the music is going to be like. The lights are going to go down and this is going to happen. So, but then no one talked about a song.
See?
Like when you come out, maybe I should.
You have influence. You should say, I need this song played as I'm being introduced. And then, you know. You can do even the James Brown thing where, like, the jacket, they try to throw it over your shoulder and you kick it out. No, I got stuff to say. I want to see that.
Oh, man. Ace, man. You're going to get me fired is what you're going to do. Anyway, we're having fun on show number 100 today on Beacon of Truth. But today we're talking about supporting children's vocations. 833-288-3986. Now, why are we talking about this? Let me set this up for you. A few years back, I had the great privilege of speaking to seminarians in a seminary in Florida. Great time with those guys. It was awesome. And at the end, there was a Q&A session, and they got to ask me questions and ministry and stuff like that. It was great. So then I said, you know what? Let me ask you guys some questions. Because, I mean, obviously, my formation was not in seminary. So I asked some questions. And one of the questions I asked was, who were some of the people that inhibited or were not very supportive of your vocation as you were discerning? I mean, I know you're still discerning now as a seminary. You're not a priest yet. But were some people that maybe put some roadblocks in your way that tried to discourage you from this vocation? And a guy raised his hand and said, my parents. I said, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe he didn't hear what I said. I said, discourage you from not support, but discourage you. And another guy raises his hand and goes, yeah, me too, my parents. I'm like, wait, what? And a number of guys in that room raised their hands and said their parents discouraged them. I'm like, wait a minute. Time out. We're creating the next generation of priests, forming the next generation of priests in the seminary. Shouldn't parents be excited about that and proud about that? That God may be calling their son to be a spiritual father for so many people throughout this lifetime? Isn't that something that should be celebrated? And one of the guys, when I said that, one of the guys said, well, they want grandkids. And I said, then why do they have more kids? I mean, come on. What if you have one kid? What if the one kid dies? Then what? You know, again, I'm not trying to tell people how many kids they should have. You know, that's a prudential decision that people have to make with God. But come on. I mean, if God's calling your child to do something, especially something extraordinary and beautiful as a vocation to the priesthood or religious life, we should be encouraging them. And yes, you may not see your child as much as you like to, especially if they go into a cloister community. You may not see them for years. You know, like years. You may not be able to actually even see them or talk to them, even touch them physically. You know, and I know that's difficult for a parent to understand, but if God is calling them to something and they feel drawn to that vocation, why shouldn't we support them in that? That's what we're talking about today. We'd love to hear from you. The second one is this. As you know, I worked in as chief at campus law enforcement for 11 years. And sometimes we'd have students, again, mostly female. I think in all these cases I'm thinking of, they're all female, who we call cutters, right? So they wouldn't try to actually hurt themselves physically by committing suicide. They weren't trying to kill themselves, but they would cut their wrists, like not hard or not deep, but enough where obviously it was bleeding and needed some attention. So in order to support a student in that situation, the university would bring together students, the student services group. So there would be someone from the health center. There would be Residence Life. There would be my office, right? Public safety, which include environmental health and safety and all those kinds of things. And we meet with the students to try to support them, to try to understand, and you know, so these things don't happen again. And I remember one case particularly, she was asked, "What are you studying?" And she said, "Engineering." But she said it in such a way, like, I mean, I saw it. It's like, well, she said it wasn't like she was passionate. I was like, okay, engineer. Like it was like, you know, like blasé. So I looked at her. I said, "Is that what you want to be studying?" And she said, "Well, no." And I said, "Well, if you could study anything, what would it be?" She goes, "English." Damn. See, her voice lifted and she got excited. I'd study English and I'd be an English teacher in a high school. I said, "Then why aren't you doing that?" "Oh, my parents, well, they think that being a teacher, I'm not going to be able to make a living and support myself, but I can make a lot of money with engineering." So and her voice dropped and got sullen again. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this poor girl. You know, she's thinking that she has, you can hear the joy and the passion in her voice when she's talking about teaching and helping to form. Again, not like these teachers now in many institutions, public and Catholic, quite frankly, that are brainwashing our children and programming them, telling them what to think and not teaching them how to think. What if we had another generation of teachers like this young lady who actually wanted to be in the classroom? It wasn't about the money. It was about passing on something beautiful to these kids. You know, why are we discouraging and not supporting what our children are doing? That's what we're talking about today. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. We're gonna go to Henry calling from Orlando, Florida, listening on iHeartRadio. And on our 100th show, welcome, Henry, to Beacon of Truth.
Hey, how's it going? I hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah, we are. Thank you, Henry.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in. It's a perfect topic. I just want to share my story, so maybe if someone out there listening with, you know, a similar situation, they go ahead and this provides them more support to go ahead and support their children's vocations. Me and my wife, we have recently been practicing our faith. We were baptized Catholic as children, but growing up in Los Angeles, California, you know, you tend to get away from that stuff a little bit with everything around. So just recently, about 3 years ago, my daughter was 5 at the time. We all started practicing our Catholic faith again. And a short while after we started practicing our Catholic faith and applying it to our lives, my daughter comes up to us and she goes ahead and she says, "Mom, Dad, Jesus is calling me to become a nun. I'm going to be a nun." And me and my wife were kind of, you know, kind of surprised because, you know, that's not usually what a five-year-old goes ahead and tells their parents. So, you know, we were okay. We were like, of course we're okay with it. So we're like, oh, okay, all right. And as time has gone on, she always keeps reminding us, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a nun. I'm going to be a nun. And I'm going to be, I want to be a sister. Like, okay, cool. So as, you know, we're continue to grow in our Catholic faith, we go ahead and we tell her, are you sure you don't want to, you know, you sure you don't want to be a mommy? You sure? She's like, nope, I am positive. I don't. I want to marry Jesus. That's who I
want
to marry.
Wow.
That's who I am. You know, and now she's going to be 8 in 2 months, and she's still set on it as the first day she told us. And we've been blessed enough with the opportunity to go ahead and, you know, travel the country. And she's seen sisters from different, you know, areas of the country. We actually went to the EWTN Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament where the Poor Clares are. And she's just fell in love. She's like, oh, I want to be a Poor Clare. I want to be here. Like, this is what I want to do. And ever since then, we go ahead and we never tell her no, or we never, you know, put a doubt in her head. And we are 100% behind her. And we feel lucky that she wants to do that. So, yeah.
Wow. That is something. I mean, to have that kind of desire as an 8-year-old to be a nun. And now, especially since she's actually seen sisters, she's met sisters, she's talked to them, she's maybe even got to see how they live, and she still wants to do it. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, I've heard priests say the same thing, that they felt from a very early age that God was calling them. Now, of course, she's only 8. So, I mean, so a lot of things can happen between now and the time that that she would be old enough to enter into a religious community and discern that call from God. But I'm so glad to hear, Henry, that you and your wife are supporting your daughter in what she believes at this point in her life that is a call from God to religious life. That is really a beautiful thing. So I want to thank you. And I'm sure all the people listening here have been blessed by what you shared with us today about your daughter. And we would continue to pray for her, that that God's will continues to unfold in her life. You know, keep her alive in the sacraments. You and your wife, Henry, should be the witness of vocation of what it means. Because she wants to fall in love. She wants to marry Jesus. So her relationship with Jesus should be based on what your and your wife's marriage is. See, because that's what she's seeing every day. And your marriage is an archetype that's pointing toward the wedding feast of the Lamb, Revelation 19, verse 9. And so as a sister, she'll be living that vocation, in a sense, marriage. She even said marrying Jesus, but living the marriage vocation in a different way. But both anticipate the wedding feast of the Lamb, where Christ, the eternal bridegroom, will be giving life to his bride, the church, forever in heaven. You know, so, what a beautiful, beautiful story. What a great first call, talking about supporting children's vocations on Beacon of Truth. So that's what we're talking about. The beautiful story that Hemby just shared. How are we supporting and helping, or helping our children to discern, maybe even the teenagers, or even older now in their 20s, you know, what is their vocation? How are we supporting, directing our children, counseling them, encouraging them, or even pulling back, or maybe pushing them, directing them in a different way, helping them to think about what God is doing in their life? That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear your experience. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And now we go to Steve, calling from Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 130. Steve, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Great to hear from you today.
Yes. So when I was 15 years old, I went to a school that was run by Benedictine monks. And I had a great admiration for the monks, and they had a strong impact on me. And there was a point at which some of the monks had approached me and said that they thought I should consider vocation. Of course, mind you, this is 40 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother actually thought she had a vocation back in the 50s, and she didn't pursue it. And I approached her, And I remember the moment as if it's happening right now. I looked at her. We were stopped at a stoplight, and I told her what I was thinking about doing. And she looked at me and she said, I don't think that you could actually maintain celibacy if you were to pursue this vocation.
Wow.
And I didn't realize what an impact that had on me. It messed me up, and I didn't pursue it. And I still toyed around with it for years into college, but I never did it.
That's really interesting. Now, what? As you reflected on this, Steve, what makes you now, I could see a parent saying, well, you know, I want to have grandkids, but well, what makes it, I don't think that you can maintain celibacy. What made, do you thought about what made her think that, or why she, or maybe was she, she was projecting what she thought of for herself when she was discerning, and now she's putting that on you? Do you think maybe something like that?
I had to think hard about that, and I did a lot of journaling, and I had a therapist who was a faithful Catholic and talked about that, and in reality, she's gone now. She's gone to her reward, so I don't know. I can't tell you, but I know what it and an impact it had on me because it made me feel like she knew something about me that I didn't know. Or maybe she had some insight that perhaps I didn't have. And it really, really messed me up because it made me wonder if I could actually be faithful to that vow.
Wow. And that affected you so much, you didn't even go in to discern. Like, okay, well, maybe I can't, but at least let me go in and see if this is... So it even discouraged you from even... pursuing postulancy or anything like that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It really did.
Wow. Yeah. That's, I'm so sorry to hear that. Well, by the way, does this happen to be St. Andrew's Abbey in Cleveland that you went to school?
Correct. That is correct.
There you go. Yeah, because I was in Newark Abbey in Newark, New Jersey. So they're in the same congregation of Benedictines. I've actually been to that monastery and to that high school before, actually, St. Andrew's. So, yeah, wonderful community there. Sorry to hear that, but I'm also glad that you called, Steve. So I'm hoping that other parents are listening, and what we don't want is parents living vicariously through their children, or putting their own wants or desires on their children. Parents should be helping children discern. If a child comes to you and says, "I think God's calling me to be an attorney or a teacher or what, you know, a priest or a nun or whatever it may be," you know, we should be helping them to discern, is that God's calling? Is that the purpose why you were created at this time in this place? Is this the reason why God put you on earth? That's what we should be helping our kids discern. So I'm sorry to hear that, Steve, but I'm sure God worked out a different plan for you. And we'll definitely be keeping you in prayer and for the repose of the soul of your mother as well. We're talking about supporting children's vocations today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-3986.
I think Steve's story brings up a great question, too, because a lot of times parents do perpetuate their fear, or if they were in their kids' shoes, how they would respond or not respond. And they don't realize that they've now put their fear onto their child as they're going into something that they have a peace about. So you just rob them of their peace by projecting your fear, which is what fear does, right? And we have to be mindful of that as parents. If my kids want to go into theater, if they want to go be rock stars, if that's where their peace is, it is not for me to take it from them, even if I worry, even if I'm concerned, even if I have my doubts, it is not for me to question if they are hearing from God.
Yeah, amen. I totally agree with you on that. Now, I remember one time, one evening, because for us growing, when the kids were young, Friday nights were pizza and movie night in our house.
Right.
In fact, we're still having pizza and movie nights. Just me and my wife and maybe a couple of the kids that'll come around, but... So one evening during the pizza movie night, we were watching The Sound of Music, okay? Mm-hmm. And I jokingly asked my second oldest daughter, the one that I thought wouldn't have a vocation. And I said, hey, you ever thought about becoming a nun? You know, like, you know, just watching her twirl, you know, Sound of Music. And to my astonishment, she said she actually had.
Oh.
And I was like, wait, what? You know,
she
I said it as a joke. No, but I mean, she just like, I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to tell me, which is bad because she should be able to tell me.
Sure.
You know, so now it made me think, did I do something to I didn't even know she was thinking about it. So this reminded me as Catholic parents that we have responsibility to spend time discussing possible religious vocations with our children. Just as my own mother supported and encouraged me when I was a teenager, when I was thinking of discerning a call to the Benedictines. You know, by the time I was a senior in high school, I was living in and out of the monastery for 2 weeks every other month.
Yeah.
You know, back then, you know, I was living in the, it was all not the child protection stuff. So I was living actually in the monastery in a novitiate on the fourth floor. And it was a beautiful time for me. I mean, I still cherish those memories. I still cherish the time as a high school student. I mean, it really helped to form me and keep me on track, you know, and not get into a fall into a lot of the pitfalls that other teenagers were falling into at that time. You know, so teaching our children to love the sound of God's voice, you know, is something that we need to be doing to support our children's vocations. That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. How have you supported your child's vocation? How have you helped them to discern what God is calling them to? Maybe you want to share your experience as a young person, as a teenager, how you discern what God is calling you to. Did you have a parent, or maybe you had a priest or a nun or someone else in your life that helped you, to form you and shape you into what God has called you to do, what he has put you on this earth to do? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth, episode number 100, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Sarah on YouTube asks, is caring for others a vocation? Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. There's, for example, the same daughter I was talking about who thought she might have vocation. Well, as it turns out, she doesn't have vocation to religious life, but she does have a beautiful heart for service. All right, a beautiful heart for service. And so she's on a career path. Now, every job that she's had was geared toward helping people, you know, not as a nurse or a physician or something like that, but home health care and assisted living kinds of situations. And now she's about to take a job working as a special ed counselor, you know, in a high school. And so, I mean, she's always had a beautiful heart to serve. And that's something that I really love about her, is that beautiful heart to all. She's always giving of herself to us. In fact, she's also was reading to kids at the library, you know, like during story time for kids in the library, and they gather around and she would just read to them. And she's always done volunteer work way past high school, not just doing it because she needed service hours, but she did it because she just had the heart. She believed that God was calling her to do that. So that's something to really consider here, you know. And you got to pray for vocations, for what our children's vocation might be. You know, families should pray with and for each other every day, and those prayers should include a possible call, yes, okay, to religious life, but whatever, you know, pray that our children see the unfolding of God's will in their life. Ask God to put circumstances, situations, people in their life that will help them to get to the place where God needs them to be. You know, I love that. Beautiful. So, wow, show 100 today on Beacon of Truth. So glad that you're with us on this incredible journey, this incredible ride of faith. Well, next week, we're going to take a look. We had a lineup of great shows for you. Monday, we're going to talk about shepherding the flock. All right, that's going to be the show for Monday. Now, remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. And as I prepare for this weekend, as you go into this weekend, as you prepare for Mass, may God continue to bless you and keep you and protect you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.